What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You now entering the Daily Wave, hosted by Mr. Christopher Green himself. On me, I'm just a fellow truth speaker. I go by the name of Doctrine. Welcome to the Daily Wave, starring Christopher Green, alternative media king.
Green Wave Radio Live. Hillary Clinton is here to save the day. In fact, she's in Jerusalem right now. As Israel and Gaza are bombing the shit out of each other, and she's going to save everything because she cares. Hillary Clinton cares about you, cares about Israel, and cares about Hamas. So she's going to broker the peace deal. I'm not really sure how that's going to work. Them bombing the crap out of each other here on a daily basis, going on 7 days now. Very violent, a lot of people being killed. This has included, of course, women and children over the past few days, but very few people really seem to care, really seem to understand what's happening over there in that part of the world. With me today, I have Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Vinny, great to have you on the program. You know, we've been kind of doing a roundtable biweekly. In fact, make sure to stay tuned because I'll be on Vinny's program, his first hour. Vinny, what do you think about all this infighting in the Middle East?
Specifically what? Palestine, Israel, or...
Well, here's the first question. Do you understand it? Because honestly, I'll hear a lot of people say, in fact, I've watched a few videos where they say, you know, I've read hundreds of articles on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and I still don't get it. I mean, this is coming from educated people. I mean, what are they fighting over, in your opinion? And, you know, where does this go? Why are they fighting?
Well, I have the saying, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. And if you want to have a look at the real history of Palestine-Israel, you've got to go way back to the time of Rome. The Jews were the only people who would not bow to Caesar and proclaim him as a god. This is what Rome did. They'll invade your country, set up their infrastructure, aqueducts, roads, etc., and then tell you to be grateful for it. And one of the conditions of you being able to live, essentially, is you must proclaim that the emperor is a god. The Jews were the only people who would not do that, thus they were the first people in Europe to be completely misplaced. They were snapped up in wagons, carts, horseback, and were purged from the land of Israel, where they'd been living for quite some time, and they were scattered about Europe. And also Rome decreed that Jews were not allowed to own land or property in that regard. So naturally, being a very industrious and intelligent people, they went into things where you could basically get a lot of wealth but not actually own any real land or property. They became jewelers, goldsmiths, lawyers, bankers, etc., and became very, very prominent in that field. And while in their absence, a Palestinians moved into the land of Israel where the Jews had previously been living and set up shop there. They were actually led by their own prophet, just as Moses had led the Jews into this promised land. So they sat there for a few thousand years, and up until World War II, there were Jews and Palestinians living together in peaceful harmony. There was no real problems. After World War II, on the other hand, there was this thing called the Holocaust. And my interpretation of the Holocaust is that essentially you're no longer allowed to question any Jew or any Israeli or the state of Israel or anything, because you can instantly say there was a Holocaust. Suddenly everything has a reason for it. So let's say, for example, you kill 1,000 Palestinian women and children for absolutely no reason, and in a really horrible way, like drop white phosphorus on them so their flesh melts off their face. And you go, that's really awful. You guys are criminals. And they go, ah, there was a Holocaust. All right. That's
right. The free pass.
Okay, so that's brought us up to today. The people who financed Hitler were, in fact, Zionists. Now, people don't know the difference between Zionist, Jew, and, say, something like a racial group, so Cathar. So, Jew, Catholic. Okay, it's a religion. So, have you ever, I don't know, made love to a Catholic or had a Catholic baby or something of that nature? It's not a race, it's a religion, okay? You are a Republican or a Zionist, okay? It's a political spectrum. Zionism believes that Israel is theirs and everybody else is scum, slaves to be exterminated and or be complete and utter slaves to the Zionist state, right? And there's many rabbis and what have you that have talked about this and really has said horrific things about other races. And basically, it's really, really a messed up situation. And the race issue, I think there were 12 tribes of Israel or 6 tribes. I forget how many tribes there were, but there's things like Ashkenazi Jews and a number of other denominations like Sephardi Jews and what have you. So, firstly, anybody who says anything about Jews, Zionists, or Cathars, or any other anything to do with in the general spectrum of that is instantly labelled an anti-Semitic Holocaust denier. So they can get away with anything, literally. You know, the Holocaust was for Jews what 9/11 is for the American administration. Hey, you're taking all our rights. You're surveilling us illegally. 9/11. Yeah. Hey, you're killing and enslaving people for absolutely no reason and kicking them off their land and building up these big settlements with giant walls and making pregnant women stay in checkpoints for like 5 or 6 hours or something like that and executing children while they're playing soccer for the Palestinian soccer team with sniper rifles and whatever. There was a Holocaust. Okay, so that's the Palestine-Israel situation from then till today. Mm-hmm. Currently, Israel is the worst human rights violator in human history, okay, according to the United Nations. Speak what you will of the United Nations, but when they issue resolutions saying that Israel has committed war crimes, it's numbering in 180, and that was like 5 years ago. It's probably in the 200-something now. So they've had more UN resolutions against them than anybody else through history. Why, on the other hand, have they never been invaded by the UN? Why have peacekeepers not come in? It's because half of the peacekeepers are actually American military who are supplied by the United States, essentially. And guess who backs Israel on the Security Council every single time when all the countries, I think it was like 160 member states or something, some ridiculous number, they all vote against Israel, and the United States is the only one that's sticks up for them. But because the United States is on the Security Council, which is actually the real world government there, because they hold all the purse strings, all the military conducts and everything, the rest of the people are kind of like the Congress versus the president, kind of irrelevant, one congressman versus the president, doesn't make a difference. And so here you have it, $4 billion a year, mostly in weapons being given from the United States to Israel. And then you have this conflict situation. So Palestinians have been living there for thousands of years. Jews came back after the Exodus. So whose promised land is it? Is it the people who moved in after the people who moved in got kicked out? Or is it the people who moved back in after getting kicked out and then kicking out the people who moved in after they moved in? You know? It's just kind of like, it's freaking stupid.
Yeah, isn't it arrogant that people think that they own land? Like, hey, this land is my land. Like, this is mine. Like, you don't own the land. Nobody actually owns land. I mean, the land is part of the earth. Why is it that, you know, this is ours, not yours. I've got to protect this. It's interesting that
they had to turn it into a militaristic state because Zionists believe that land is theirs. And so they started up a compulsory recruiting program. You were either able to, A, go into the Israeli Defense Force and play a part in the military machine of killing Palestinians, or B, you have to become a full-time rabbi and try and preach the ways of the Torah and the Judaism and Zionism and tell everybody to kill the Palestinians.
Not a lot of options there.
So those are your two career choices in Israel starting off.
Yeah. So yeah, you're pushed one. Yeah, we're pretty much into the same rhetoric, whether or not you're fighting the wars or you're leading the people, through religion. So
yeah. Now, geopolitically, on the other hand, you have a look at the position of Israel on the map, and the position that it occupies is actually very unique. It's the only Western nation in the Middle East. So naturally, the United States, being a global empire, wishes to retain said foothold, hence the $4 billion of weapons per year. Now, the reason why people don't know any of this is because Israel has many, many, many lobby groups, as well as many, many, many Israeli citizens in the White House who, don't want people to know all of this stuff. So I watched a movie one time called, I think it might have been called the Control Room or something of that nature, but it took a Palestinian story, okay, and it took that story, the truth, and as it was, and then it broadcasted it to the Americans after going through the filtering process, okay? Several boards of representatives who would view a news story, say, I don't like that bit being said, I don't like that being said, blah, 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 blah. Turns out there's about 17 organizations that have to pre-check any news story about Israel before it comes to the American market. 17!
Wow. Yeah.
All right, so here's the filter process, just in a nutshell. Here's the original story. Israeli tanks fire on a Palestinian house full of women and children who all die. Hamas, being democratically elected by the Palestinians, retaliates by firing unguided, glorified cherry bombs at Israel and kill nobody and damage virtually nothing.
That's really
as a result, now, as a result of being attacked back in retaliation, Israel then retaliates and kills 1,000 Palestinian men, women, and children, injures 2,000 men, women, and children, and blows up 400 critical points of infrastructure along the Gaza Strip, including the parliament buildings, power stations, gas lines, and roading, and markets, and schools, and anything else you can really think of that's of any infrastructural capacity for the Palestinians. Now, this is how it gets reported in America. Deadly, deadly terrorists attacked Israel with weapons of mass destruction, and Israel was forced to defend itself. Aren't they lovely?
Yeah, that's exactly how it's pitched to the American people. And that's a really good assessment. I haven't heard it put that way before, Vinny, but that's really what's happening. And then it's positioned as an act of self-defense, and it's almost like Israel is just baiting this. I mean, they are baiting it. Every once in a while, they got to go in and destroy the infrastructure, destabilize their opposition. My question is, in your opinion, is this where it stops? I mean, is this where, at least what we're seeing right now in Gaza, or is this going to open up a wound, a much bigger wound, in a much, larger conflict throughout the Middle East, which I think a lot of us
I don't know. Worry about? Well, that's what a lot of people are worried about, and in my opinion, if there's something you've got to worry about, stop worrying about it, because your worrying won't do anything. Mm-hmm. The other element of this equation is that there is actually a huge movement of Israelis who are against Israel within it. I think it's a country of about 8 million people, and 2 million people took to the streets some time ago in a nationwide protest. In fact, when I interviewed David Icke a number of months ago in May, he was reading out recent stories that Israelis had, in fact, immolated themselves. They poured gasoline on themselves in public squares and set themselves on fire in protest for how Israel is treating the Palestinians. So it's not one way or the other. What we're talking about is a dictatorship that controls Israel, a genocidal, psychopathic dictatorship who has no qualms about killing kids, no qualms about lying, and love war, because the only way that they've ever managed to expand their territory since the beginning of the State of Israel was with conflict. Israel has the fourth largest military in the world, thanks to the United States, obviously. And during, I think it was the 1964 Six-Day War, they managed to defeat Syria and Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Egypt and Lebanon and Jordan at the same time, annihilated them all in 6 days. They took out all of their aircraft, and then whenever they sent their tanks out with no air support, sitting ducks. Okay, and they managed to expand their territory massively during that campaign, and it's only been in the last maybe 10, 15 years or something that they've relinquished such control over it. But now the situation is so... people think it's really complex. It's not. Okay, you know how the American government and not the American people are tyrants? The Israeli government and not the Israeli people are tyrants. It's the same thing. It's the same methodology. And incidentally, the Israeli government is funded by the American government.
So you think, is it the United States that wags the tail of Israel, or is it Israel that wags the tail of the United States? Who do you think's in control?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think either the United States is in control of the United States or Israel's in control of Israel. I think they're both simply puppets to the globalist.
Yeah, hence their, good answer,
hence
yeah.
their propensity for genocide.
Yeah, so isn't it amazing that this genocide and what we're seeing perpetrated by the United States and Israel is rationalized by the... How do people... Because I talked...
Well, let's define genocide. Let's define genocide. It's defined as the specific attack and destruction of a particular group of people. Okay. If you're living in an open-air prison camp, and if you are a Westerner and you're going through there, I've spoken to some of my mates who've been to Gaza Strip, pointing a camera at a tank on top of the hill, these Palestinians in the van scream and grab them and shove them down to the floor. And it's like, don't point anything at them. They'll shoot us. Okay? Imagine you're walking down the street at any given time and you could be killed. That's what it's like for somebody living in the Gaza Strip right now. Cold water, no hot running water. Every building is made out of scavenged building supplies. The place is an absolute bedlam hellhole. But they even have a boy racer club. That's funny though, isn't it?